palpable sense of racial competition that surrounds much of the politics and rhetoric in these times of turmoil and inevitable challenge to the principles of WBAI and of Pacifica. With alarming and certainly novel, I think is the term they use in legal parlance, novel changes being applied to the governance structure. There is a particular concern that I have in regard to it, which is that as a station dedicated to peace in a context of war emerging after World War II, certainly much sentiment would have suppressed liberating information brought forward over the years by the Pacifica radio stations. And thus, one should tread extraordinarily carefully when embracing the fine-sounding but difficult to practically and equitably implement idea of listener governance of the programming. Because if democracy is to be the means by which that is established, then democracy means majority rule. And if majority rule determined the programming of Pacifica over the years, the necessarily minority opinion of peace would have been suppressed if democracy were the only guiding factor in the governance and programming of Pacifica. It is by definition that this station, these stations and its culture, represent what may at a certain point in time be a minority point of view, whose value and whose journalism and reportage and consciousness raising may ultimately change the opinions of others. Mixed into this dangerously loaded crucible, in the wake and, I suspect, continuing efforts of external interests to subvert, tame, or modify the efficacy of Pacifica Broadcasting when it is at its best, there has been a dystonal undercurrent of race injected into much of recent discussions. There are legitimate values that are being argued by people on various sides, but never have I seen the station so, or that is to say, those who claim to represent. We're broadcasting from the Empire State Building now. Now, that was a regularly scheduled malfunction of broadcast with some foolishness they do about this time every night at the Empire State Building. My name is Robert Knight. You're listening to Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. I was saying the discussions about governance have taken on, among other dimensions, racial overtones that, according to some proponents, would hurl the station back to the segregated days preceding 1977. It contains... Hi. I'm on the air. I'll have to talk to you at a later moment. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York, and this is obviously an interesting subject. Well, I was saying the racial undercurrent, the undertone of tribalism has manifest in a bulletin board, a gossip board, that at one time was a resource for those seeking to save the station from a period of what can only be described as demonic possession. And there's been a transition, in my opinion, in this location, where it appears that just a few people with very vigorous tribal opinions seem to proliferate far more than I remember during the time of the coup and the exile, or as I remember at WBAI before 1977. And it has become a part of the... It has become a part of the politics and low level of discussion here that race is being used as a way of broadly blanketing people and arousing intellectually insufficient opinions and passions. The good and white board, that's my pet name for it because of the proliferation of what I consider hurtful racial pejoratives on it, has recently entertained a great many postings referring to people of color here at the station as black gnats, black gnats, black gnats. That's a term I remember that had been Xeroxed in by a federal officer on one of the copies of the COINTELPRO list of people of African heritage in the United States under surveillance. I remember that stubby little handwriting. It said black gnat list. This is a term that is now commonly in this gossip arena being applied to people of color at the station. I don't think that's right to characterize the individual actions of people who may be acting out of great positions and passion for principle. Just another black gnat. The word is sometimes so carelessly and callously used that it sounds almost as if it is a substitute for that other old word, where people are prejudged because of their cultural origins. It gets worse. Currently, au courant in the bad light discussions is the recent injection, and what troubled me was the toleration of the injection of the word wigger, meaning white nigger, for people who support affirmative action policies or other delvings into the very serious issues of representation here at the station, on the board, and elsewhere. And while the interplay of cultures and inspirations is a legitimate and topic for discussion, it seems kind of backwards the way things have gone when people are looked at in a good and white way. And that's what's been troubling me lately. It's hard to talk about. But so you know what I'm talking about, I've compiled a few examples of what is happening in the midnight claverns of the bad light. It once was a place where people could have some intellectual comity, but it has not been, at least from the pain I feel from the racism that exists there, and what, at least by my grammatical standards, or a tolerance of it. Here at Pacifica, it claims to be, that gossip board claims to be about Pacifica issues and WBAI issues. But Lord knows that is not what my soul understands this encounter among people called WBAI to be. So we will hear samples of what I'm talking about. An excerpt of characteristic ways in which there has been a patterned attack on people of color. To avoid the characterization of manipulative inflection, you will hear them read by a computer device. So each one will be read in a form as neutral as we can possibly convene at this time. So you listen, you judge for yourself. Part of it hinges on what's a wigger. And some people say they don't know what that means. So we'll hear, you know, the discussion and a sample of some music from elsewhere that apparently does understand what it means. And we will begin. How else could one therefore open such a discussion than with the characteristic song that I think addresses the Pacifica admonition of misogynistic homophobic and racist language is really not a tool of evolution. Here now, some Sly, some Bad Light, and some more. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight, and this is what it sounds like.
This is what you get when you leave some black nets and withers in charge of anything. WBI will continue to sink in debt with current emphasis on black net programs. Our call on tonight, four preempted by black net program again, black net watch. First thing to call the black nets out of the network, that would be a good start. Sigh. First of all, the term black nationalism is sociologically imprecise and does not distinguish between, say, African nationalism and cultural nationalism. For example, to name just a couple of many fine distinctions a precise, unbigoted study of a subject deserves. And sadly, the malicious black net propagandists on this board have come nowhere near that humane level of academics, empathy, history or philosophical evolution when it comes to these cross-cultural subjects. Their time would be better spent reading the literature than spewing their litanies. Tuesday, September 9th, 11:34. This is what you get when you leave some black nets and withers in charge of anything. First, the station must be cleansed from this bunch. Moderators, withers, this board is a racist rat hole and you tolerate it. What's a wigger? Please email moderators, use link. It's a code name for nigger, good like for dummies. Term is descriptive of white skins who try to act black, then the rennie. Moderator leaves it up 4 hours, pretending he doesn't understand that wiggers means niggers. Wigger, wig GRR equals white person who attempts to act black, according to the Urban Dictionary. WHIGGPR equals WHITE person who tries to act black, like an inverted Uncle Tom. A response from a moderator Tuesday, September 9th, 23 hours, 11 minutes and 52 seconds, 2000. The fastest and most effective means to complain about posts on this board is to email the moderators. This has been repeated over and over again. Please don't expend needless bandwidth complaining about posts on the board. Either rebut, discuss or ignore offensive posts. There are only two of us on the moderation team and we can't monitor this board 24/7, though we come tolerably close. The Good Lights boards were established to foster free and robust debate on issues pertinent to the station. As moderators, we've tried to establish a minimum framework of rules necessary to avoid needless turmoil and unproductive discourse. Our efforts to more rigorously moderate this board in the past has been opposed with complaints of unnecessary censorship and abuse of privilege. With regard to the wiggers post, we have not been persuaded that the term is a stealth stand-in for another more odious with which it rhymes. The word may be provocative, perhaps even gratuitously so. Nevertheless, if we are to begin censoring on the basis of rhyming propinquity, where does it end? As has been said before, the way to rebut bad speech is by good speech. Again, we count on the community to alert us as to all instances of potential abuse on this board. We try to be responsive and welcome all constructive input regarding the moderation of these boards. Gil Collin. With regard to the Withers post, we have not been persuaded that the term is a stealth stand-in for another more odious with which it rhymes. The word may be provocative, perhaps even gratuitously so. Nevertheless, if we are to begin censoring on the basis of rhyming propinquity, where does it end?
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. Some of what is happening in the asteroid belt of the orbit of the broadcast of WBAI. A gossip board with liberal use of what I consider to be racially pejorative and invidious terms that diminish any discussion about the gathering of peoples in this radio station. Just my opinion. And I did make efforts to have the countenancers of that opinion be able to speak tonight. I offered an invitation to Frank Fitzgerald, the progenitor and co-moderator of the board, to be on, but he declined. My name is Robert Knight. You're listening to Earthwatch here on WBAI in New York. I suppose that we will open up the phone for calls and comments. This my own reaction to what appears to be a rampant new tribalism that surrounds the anxieties of people in regard to the fate and future of WBAI. This is Earthwatch. Online dictionary, or encyclopedia actually, the Wikipedia list of ethnic slurs includes the term Wigger, that was such a mystery to that gossip board. The definition here, Wigger, is same thing from the United States, a white person who acts as a black stereotype. And I just don't think these are soulfully satisfying or academically precise or socially useful forms of language to sanction. You know, certainly I'm not calling for an end to free speech, and people have a right to gather and post in whatever claverns they like. But it just doesn't feel right to me. That's my opinion. We'll hear some of yours. Area code 212-209-2900 is the number. This is Earthwatch, and you are on the air.
Robert.
Yes.
How are you this evening?
Perturbed.
Well, yeah, I can hear that. And that's kind of what I wanted to comment on. You know, for better or worse, I've been hearing you since, you know, you were doing the news. That's like about 20 years ago. And I think the great thing about you, the thing that I relate to about you, is that even though you seem like you're incredibly bright, really, really smart, you also are very much in touch with your feelings. Like, you are not a person who totally identifies with being just a talking head, you know, an intellectual who went to college and has a degree and basically sees things only through your head, and, you know, basically you have a body, you have emotions, and you're not afraid of, even when you're hostile, you're angry, you're...
What do you think about my anger tonight?
Well, I'm surprised that anybody involved with BAI is using a term like Wigger, but since you brought it up, I think that BAI could probably use more Wiggers on the air, because I see a problem with the programming, you know, and I think most of the listeners basically only know BAI through the programming. They're not, you know, for better or worse, I don't think most people are that interested, really, in what's going on behind the scenes. They're basically interested in the programming. That's why they support the station.
Well, we're trying to make it as good as possible, and I just find the use of the term and the proliferation of it to be non-constructive to comity and true community service. 209-2900, this is Earthwatch, and you are, let's see, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I was listening to you, man. I need to turn down the video, man. Do you mind for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead, be quick.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, man, this is Sam from the Lower East Side, man. I was listening to you. I really feel for you, man. I feel that you're really touched by this. That is really, it's personally abhorrent to you, and I really, my heart goes out to you. But, you know, but at the same time, you know that, Pacifica has always been kind of weird. I mean, you talked about 1977, you know, and 73, 74 out in Berkeley, you know.
It was like the way that the people who toss around these racially pejorative terms like black gnat and wiggers,
mm-hmm.
That's the way they would like to see the station again.
Yeah, yeah, but
that is to say, white.
But beware of COINTELPRO. But at the same time, because the same MO as COINTELPRO.
Thank you. Thank you. come on. Preach a little bit. Go ahead.
But you know, in Berkeley, KPFA, 1973-74, there were these progressive whites who thought that they could successfully represent for people of color. And they took a strike, a third rail strike out there, which was never really publicized to bring that about. But what thing that did happen is that in New York, they became aware of that, and that's when they that they took action to prevent incursion of people of color coming in, and that was delayed for several years. But in Berkeley, they it became very successful, and there was a great third rail department, and you know, and it didn't really diminish until. The problem, I think, that most people recognize is that when Pat Scott and this woman from the Clinton administration got a hold of it. And
Mary S. Berry.
Hmm?
Mary S.
Yeah,
Berry.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They kind of put a bad spin on affirmative action. And I think in many ways, understandably, because these people were given a lot of... you know, cachet because of their color, and they kind of
well, that's you bring up a very important issue, because certainly tribalism can be cross-exercised by many groups, and certainly during the great unpleasantness here, that was the stock in trade of the usurpers, and that was the stock in trade of the usurpers, and.
Well, man, all I can say is that, man, I think you need to connect with some of the people from the West Coast who've been through it all and who have a great perspective. There's a whole bunch
I stay in close touch with Dennis Bernstein and a lot of people in Texas, California. Oh, yes, very good friend. Very good friend.
Amina Hassan, you know, was a brilliant person who came to, you know, KPFA and was really... pretty squashed down and became such a strong woman, man. So, I mean...
Well, you obviously have some sense of history, and I appreciate that contribution tonight.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right on.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I wanted to say what a deep sense of empathy comes through in your voice, and that in itself is a... positive thing.
May I just inject a reply to that?
Yeah.
I was thinking of saying other things tonight. What if I called an Irish person a wick?
Okay.
What if I'm
Irish.
What if I called a Jewish person a mic?
Okay, but
I'm trying to point out to people that these are mortars of words. These are things that fragment and destroy and do not build any way that everyone can be adequately represented.
Well, they're lethal in a public context and crazy in a public context, and politicians seem to thrive on division and oversimplification. But yet, okay, I'm gay, and 37 years ago I left a little town in New Jersey because I would have just got murdered if I just stayed there because people hated gay people there. And but my experiences in life, I'm almost 60 now, has taught me that I really don't care what word a person uses personally around me, because someone can walk up to me and say, I disagree totally with the gay experience, and shoot me in the head and not say any bad word at all. So in my situation, I prefer people painfully searching for the truth somehow among themselves.
I can feel that in your voice, and it gives inspiration.
And I have hope for humanity more than I do for politicians, because politicians know how to tune in on overgeneralizations, and on the radio station, a lot of people play that game because they realize they're speaking to a broader audience and they can get a mob response.
So they pull a monkey shine. They cut the fool. You know, they act the fool. Well, thank you for your sensitivity and
thank you for your
comments.
Sensitivity.
I'll draw the following lesson from you. Words cannot hurt me, but they sure can piss me off.
They can hurt too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is my first time calling, and I appreciate the, I really feel good about that.
It's nice to have a black gnat listening.
excuse me. Well, first of all right, let me phrase it to you this way then. If God thought as bad as we did, he had loads of planets to stick us all. If he thought, some of the individuals who did that, and but he didn't. He put us all on this earth, and he said, you know, in his infinite wisdom, deal with each other. And in his infinite wisdom, he made the place very beautiful, which we haven't taken care of very well, some of us. And I just wanted to say that I really enjoy, you know, hearing you. Okay, that one song you played where it had the J word and it had the N word. Okay, because we don't use those words in my home.
You mean the Sly and the Family Stone song, which was actually a constructive song, I thought, unlike the other one by a British group known under various names as the People Haters or Felix.
Whatever, Texas, whatever. But
they were the ones with the Wigger song,
okay,
kind of indicating its true meaning.
Okay. Well, in my household here, we don't even talk Polish jokes, you know, because...
Amen.
It's you know, I mean, we only have so many years on the face of this earth, you know, and why put in all that kind of nonsense and, you know, and not enjoy life like the way we need to.
You have a good spirit.
Well, I feel good about it because, okay, I lost my mother a couple of years ago, and she sang her last song. She had a beautiful voice, and it was the type of voice that could stop racism. And I was told this by a African American who was on a bus where there were some white people who were talking very nasty. And in the Christmas of 2000, my mother sang Silent Night, and she died April.
That day I'll always remember. Yeah.
And the sobbing and what I had to do to get her up to sing, because this young woman, this very nice young woman who tried to put on this party, the Christmas party, begged me because my mother used to sing like in her area. And, you know, I could hear the cracks and I could hear the life leaving her. And from that moment on, I swore that I would try to do, you know, things that were so important and that were really, you know, worth more than just doing stupid-ass crap like that.
Well, you've done that tonight.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate your sensitivities and your caring about people and being upset by what you have heard. And my heart goes out to you. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you. I will draw upon that comfort like a hearth.
Well, thank you very much. And like I said, this is my first time speaking with you. And
you're good.
I really feel good about it. Yes, I'll tell my husband about it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Robert. You have a good day. And, you know, I hope to hear you tomorrow morning, okay?
Okay, you're done good.
All right, take care.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
Robert.
Yo.
How you doing, man? Jeff, you're totally upset with what you heard about on the bad light board. I'm not even a computer. I'm not there. So I'd like to respond to the bigger issue of, what is a program, FBI, supposed to be a program, the color of the skin or the ideology? And ideology meaning, another word for that is the mission statement of BAI, right? And the word progressive, okay? So isn't the issue, I don't know why it seems so simple to me, Robert. Please tell me why I got to not do the simple take on it. The issue is, it doesn't matter what your color is, you have to have the progressive ideology to be on in the Pacifica Network.
You not only anticipate, but you recognize, I think, the more significant point I made, that the question of absolute democracy governing Pacifica seems to me not only inadequate, but mission reversing. And that certainly the communities and the constituencies and supporters should be represented, but all of that, I mean, you have stations and entities that have more than one tribe, culture, or group, ethnic group taking part,
right,
but that do not seek to solve the issues of peace or fundamentally explore
right
what
right
is, you know, that which separates us.
Right.
So Pacifica is a special entity, and it must have a more evolved, I think, guidance system than the simplistic ones that are proposed for those with invidious interest to take over one of the most powerful voices of liberation and cultural enlightenment in the world.
Okay, so in fact, no one has, in the last 18 months, proposed the idea that what it takes to be on BA on the Pacifica station is embracing the mission statement, or a shorthand way of saying that is progressive. Is it true that nobody has put forth that in the last 18 months as the criteria?
Well, I mean, people are working on it. It's hard to keep track of it all. But I think you've raised a good point. I'd like to move and get, there are so many calls.
Okay, man. Thanks.
And people have been brilliant, including yourself. This is Earth Watch, and you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Robert, are you there?
Indeed so.
Hi. You know, the Good Light Board is an anonymous board. I think that's one of the reasons that it's so... it's been so prone to hateful posts, even back during the previous regime, the unpleasantness. There were all kinds of anonymous posts, inflammatory posts, trying to set people against each other. There were very sexist posts, there were anti-communist posts, a lot of racist posts. But because it's set up so that you post anonymously, you know, I don't think there's any way, I don't think this represents the WBAI listenership.
I agree. I think it's about a half dozen people gathering in the clavern.
Right. So giving, I don't know, I don't understand why you're giving them so much attention. I mean, I'm sure there are disruptors.
Well,
I'm sure there are agents on that board.
There have been not only racialist attacks that have been repeatedly countenanced, but also some painful attacks on some close colleagues of mine that make fun of their condition, and which also I find painful and offensive. Despite the claim that personal attack is not the stock and trade of that gossip board, it is, in fact, pretty much the stock and trade of it at the
current
time.
Well, that's why I stopped going over to Good Light, because there's so much cruelty on that board. But also some of the not anonymous boards, like New Pacifica, are
there's
just
one at WBAI also, you know.
Yeah, which people don't use enough, you know. Maybe we need to... You know, to get a real discussion going on the WBAI site, one that's civil and that reflects Pacifica values, instead of, you know, I mean, it's been a long time now where people have been knocking each other out in the cruelest ways. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's horrible. There's no excuse for this kind of terminology. But I'm just questioning... why you're bringing it up now, if you have some solution in mind, or I don't think you can draw a political conclusion from the junk that you see on these boards.
I think these very discussions are in some ineffable way efficaciously therapeutic. That's what I think. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thank you for your insight.
Mm-hmm.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Yes, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? I've been listening to you. I just got in. I was in my car, and I've kind of floated into my apartment, and I wanted to reach out to you because you are one of the more eloquent metaphysicians that I have enjoyed listening to. And I would wonder whether, as some comfort, because I could feel where you're going, I can feel what you want to say, and you want us to join in and empathize with you. But isn't this pretty much another evidence of the catharsis itself, the psychosocial catharsis?
Stooping to conquer, catching the disease, riding it through.
Yeah,
sure.
It would come to me as that I think that the society has become numb when I think the young, or for instance the rappers, use the word. It kind of desensitized it in a way. to such a way that it seems that they could not hurt us, quote unquote, with that word, or use the word with the kind of venomous results psychologically to us. So I think.
Oh, you're hurting so true.
So these words have to go through a metamorphosis every now and then with every new generation, so that the intent or the hatred or whatever it is they wish to impart by those words, it needs a fresh new representation in order to give that generation a new or at least a sense of individuality in their own hatred. And vigor. It just seems to me that it's the same disease metamorphosizing. Just like you see the different stages of a disease from a staphylococcus to a streptococcus to a pneumococcus.
It's right. New age.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, new and improved.
Yes, new and improved. So you figure, I think that now that when you see, as a naturopath myself, the greatest part of the healing process is when you see the greatest effects, watching divine intelligence work, and you see this this volcanic eruption of the matter that created the disease coming to the surface, and you study that, and knowing that that's not the cause, you look at it as the effect. I see those words coming out as just one more effect, one more symptom to a very insidious cause that is yet to reveal itself, although we know what it is, but I think it's kind of become more and more blended into the social bloodstream, so it's very hard to detect, or people have become caught up in so many different variables of the situation that they don't see the one disease. So I think that this is nothing more. I kind of appealing to that metaphysical mind of yours to see it for what it really is. It's another part of the healing process, and you're going to see all these different variables.
Your words are so fulfilling that I can only offer you my salutations to a naturopath from an empath.
Thank you for calling us your brilliance.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. Broadcasting at 99.5 megahertz FM. And on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org, at which entity your host can also be communicated with. An email to Robert Knight, that's RKNIGHT at WBAI.org. A few more phone calls at 212-209-2900. You're on the air. Greetings. Ooh, not you. Greetings, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Robert, let me turn this off.
Open the pod bay door.
Yes, here we go. This is one of your old friends, and dare I say, disciples, Paul Mayer. It's always a joy to hear your great political intelligence and compassion and insight. And even tonight, I must once again just admire your restraint and objectivity in dealing with all this. It's really edifying and inspiring. But I will immediately move on to taking the whole issue to what some will perceive as a new level of paranoia, and that is that I perceive these kinds of people really being either consciously or perhaps unconsciously as instruments of the corporate state, as indeed I did the people who were involved, you know, in the so-called coup and all the activities surrounding it. And that level of divisiveness, you know, that level of insensitivity and political stupidity articulated in this particular communal setting, it's just, I just can't interpret it in any other way. That's basically what I want to say, Robert.
Please share with us more the structure of this entity that you feel has been in the coup and other events trying to assimilate the station. Do you have other insights about that?
Well, as I say, I'm not trying to either be personal or paranoid, and but I did feel very much that, for example, there were clearly centrist forces within the Democratic Party. In other words, what I'm trying to say, while we should always have a certain amount of political modesty, and I see that, I experience that very much in your insights, I don't think we should underestimate the potential of Pacifica, and even in its very imperfect form, the role that it plays in the body politic and the impact that it has and indeed can have to a much greater degree. And I did feel that there were certain centrist forces in the Democratic Party and others who saw this as that things are really getting out of hand and some direct action need to be taken and was taken in a very incredible way, really, now that one looks at it in retrospect. And I think, you know, when I hear those kinds of voices in the present political moment where the voices of intelligent dissent are getting harder and harder to find and the voices of courage, I don't think it is exaggerated to think that once again the powers that be are going to look for opportunities to cause dissent and division and hatred and all of this kind of ugliness. And as soon as I heard it, I said, this smells like the man to me. It has his footprints all over it.
I read you loud and clear. I have recently repeated to myself the question, what makes you think the original Coomeisters went away? The progenitors of it.
Touché, brother.
Now, when you say brother and dear good father, are you the Reverend Paul Meyer?
Yes.
I have encountered you so many times speaking for justice with a strong voice that I cannot count.
Well, thank you.
It is truly a great honor to be able to converse with you like this.
Well, the honor is mine. I say that with a full heart.
Well, thank you so much for making your presence known.
And keep up your magnificent work.
What is your latest work? How can people know what you're doing?
Well, I have sort of I do a lot of interesting things. I mean, I work on many different levels. Believe it or not, I'm also a yoga instructor. But I'm very involved with United for Peace and Justice and with the Forum of Concerned Religious Leaders, which was formed after 9/11, an interfaith body. But at the moment, and I want to take this opportunity for a promo to remind people of the importance of the October 25th demonstration in Washington, which once again, with all the imperfections of our movement, does represent an attempt of United for Peace and Justice and ANSWER to come together and do this in a unified way. And it won't be simple and it won't always be edifying, but nevertheless, one has to keep one's sense of humor. But at this particular moment, to call for the end of the occupation in Iraq and to call for bringing our young people home, I think those are just two very important and very clear messages. And I think the challenge of our movement is to present that to the general public in a way that is understandable and palatable in the best sense of the word without making any compromises. And we really have to get out there and mobilize the folk and really get large numbers of people so that the powers that be will get the message. And I think this time, I believe that not through the ingenuity of our movement, but really just the way history has unrolled reality before us, you know, I think these powers that be are in trouble today, and I don't think we should underestimate that. I think they're... And so the challenge is to not let our political rhetoric at times get in the way of communicating these very simple ideas. Not that they're always that simple, but there are some, you know, the lies of the administration and on so many different levels, the deceit, the unnecessary... I mean, not that any killing is necessary anyway, but the fact that our young men and women in the military are just being used as cannon fodder in the most cynical and politically bankrupt way, and of course the robbing of the national treasury. So, I mean, I live out here in East Orange in the inner city. And right now, our neighbor next door in Orange, they want to close down the city hospital. You can't imagine what that means to our communities. You know, this is low-income, largely African-American and Latino, and some white working-class folks to remain to shut down the only hospital. I mean, it's like a death blow. And we don't have enough money to keep that hospital going while we're ready to spend... Our president is asking for $87 billion to keep this obscene war going. Anyway, I feel I'm going on too long, but
it's just the right length.
I'm going to say one more word, Robert.
Sure.
Since I don't call BAI too often, I feel very deeply that the historical moment has come for the peace and justice movement to become the peace, justice, and environmental movement, and that we have to develop a new kind of synthesis and a kind of integrated message. I mean, the earth is in such literally indescribable crisis, and all living beings are, and if one needed one statistic among so many that could be cited, it's incredible, but so many people I meet haven't heard that 15,000 people died in France this summer because of the global warming that our president still denies exists. And all of this happening in the interest of oil and of oil wars and the addiction, the cultural addiction of our society and the Western world in particular, although it's not limited to oil and to the oil culture and to all that it represents, and the refusal to move in the direction of alternative energy sources. And so I really feel that something new has to happen within our movement, and I'm personally doing all I can to be sort of a disruptive force and raise that issue. So I'm doing that tonight.
Well, thank you for doing it here, Reverend Paul Meyer.
Well, I, sir,
am your disciple.
Okay. Blessings. Good night.
Thank you. And Paul Meyer is also the founder of Children of War, a youth organization, and he's living it like he's saying it. Quite an honor. Quite an honor indeed to have such a conversation. This is Earthwatch.